This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And welcome to The Drive. Jay Binkley in for Carrington Harrison. Rob Brenton producing the operation as usual. I'm kind of like, where's Waldo? A little bit, Rob. Where am I going to be? Well, I'm here today. CDOT back tomorrow. And obviously, there's a couple things that excite me. One, the fact we're on training camp eve. As the Chiefs, the rookies and quarterbacks report tomorrow, you hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. But two, college football is back in the news, Rob. This is music to my ears. I felt like, well, I do that Rush the Field show, or did do that Rush the Field show here, the college football, and I saw a lack of interest the last couple of years from people following the local schools. Even though I think there's a good reason to see what Eli Drinkwitz and what he's been doing in Missouri and the recruiting. I like what Klieman's building at Kansas State. And we'll find out what Lance Leipold is going to do at Kansas. I like the hire. I like the direction these local teams are going. Having said that, obviously Missouri's already in the VIP section, is already in the SEC. K-State, KU are not. And they're now at the hands of Texas and Oklahoma. As you guys have heard, Texas and Oklahoma still have a grant of rights media deal with the Big 12 through 2025, although they were trying to do that early. As typically these deals get done early, like the NFL deal. And they've said they're going to put out a statement that Texas and Oklahoma aren't interested in pursuing further media rights deals with the Big 12, which essentially is, we're out. We're done. Now, the news came out that they're looking at the SEC, and there's been a whole lot of comments, but no comments. And keep this in mind, Texas and Oklahoma did not deny this, Rob. They just said, well, there's a lot of rumors and speculation that goes on. But they did, unless I'm missing something, did you hear the definitive blockage from Oklahoma and Texas? They danced around it. It's Fred Astaire dancing around it. Eli Drinkwitz, the coach of Missouri, was bouncing around the SEC media days. And he said he asked the commissioner if horns down would be a 15-yard penalty. Commissioner said he gave me a strong rebuttal, no comment. So now the game is for Texas A&M, that clearly one of the writers that put this out in the Houston Chronicle dropped the bombshell that Texas and Oklahoma were looking to leave the Big 12. Then all of a sudden, now they need 11 votes. You got to have 11 of the 14 votes in the SEC to get in. So there's going to be the game now of trying to talk teams into voting no. And obviously, Missouri would be a target of Texas A&M, considering Missouri, one of the reasons they bolted the Big 12, because the Texas Longhorns had a footprint, a foothold on the Big 12 conference. Why the conference offices left Kansas City, went down to Dallas. They're the only team with their only television network. This league has been over backwards for the Texas Longhorns. So, who knows what Missouri would do? Texas A&M... They're not happy about this. And by the way, their commissioner or their athletic director, these guys don't go. I've been to a couple SEC media days, been to a couple Big 12. It's the head coach, and usually it used to be three players. Now about two players go with the coach. They travel the day of the game. Everybody was laughing because Kansas didn't make the trip last week because of the rain. They weren't able to go. But one guy that did go is Ross Bjork, and he's the athletic director at A&M. He's been there since 2019. And his reaction to the news of Texas and OU wanting to join the SEC. Now, keep in mind, this guy knows everything that's going on. He likes the fact that Texas A&M is the only school in the SEC in the state of Texas. But it's interesting that he showed up to media days when athletic directors typically don't show up to media days. That's the head coach talking about his football team. Here's Ross Bjork, his reaction when he found out about this, even though he knew.
Pretty much the news was hitting as we were walking in the hotel. And so I was caught off guard, just like you were, and just like a lot of people here in Hoover were caught off guard. And, you know, our position is, look, there's a reason why we left the Big 12 back in 2011 and started in July 1st of 2012, is that we wanted to have a standalone identity in the state of Texas and all the turmoil that was happening in college athletics at the time. And so the SEC has been a perfect fit for us. And we believe that we want to maintain that same identity.
Yeah, they hate Texas. He goes on.
Perhaps there's a reason why Texas and Oklahoma are looking around, if that's the case. I think Jimbo said it on the podium. Of course they do. They want to be in the SEC. It's the best conference. So there's a lot of uncertainty, I think, right now in college athletics. So I think this type of story fuels that a little bit. But from our perspective, we love being in the SEC. We love being the only program in the state of Texas. And we're going to maintain that position. But we're also going to make sure that we are a leader in college athletics. And we'll see what the future holds.
Well, here's the thing. A&M is starting to act like babies about this whole deal. They bolted themselves. And they, listen, Texas is huge. To be the only SEC school in that state, Texas wants a piece of that pie. And A&M is probably going to have to deal with it. Because eventually, whatever the commissioner says, usually the other schools fall in line because of the money. And the fact that the SEC would be set up a super conference of 16 teams. They've got 14 now. ACC sitting there looking for a couple more, maybe. The Big Ten, the same thing, sitting at 14. Pac-12 still sitting at 12. And they're a mess as well. We'll get to them. But then the Big 12 essentially would be down to 8 teams. It would be the end of the Big 12. We could be seeing the beginning of the end for the Big 12 conference. And it's nobody's fault but their own. Bob Bowlesby talks a big game. He wasn't even worried about it, which is a joke because the commissioners need to worry about conference realignment. Things have changed. It's no longer the cable footprint. It's why Maryland and Rutgers went into the Big 10. It was about television sets, about cable television sets, more than production on the field. Now, Nebraska went to the Big Ten because of history, of their national footprint. It's a little bit different. Televisions are on across the country for them, not just the state of Nebraska. Obviously, the state of Nebraska in the population doesn't garner the New York market or the whole Delmarva region where Maryland is, doesn't bring that cachet in. But the Big 12 had their chance. Remember a couple years ago, they were thinking about expanding. Louisville was talked about, but they went to the ACC. Memphis, Houston, Central Florida, Colorado State, Air Force Academy, Boise State were these teams talked about to go to the Big 12. And again, they don't bring in names like Texas and Oklahoma, but they would have been a nice addition, a nice fixture. Teams like Arizona and Arizona State have made it pretty public. They're tired of the Pac-12. USC could keep an eye on them. You could lure them, or they're going to go independent. In Texas, if they don't get into the SEC, could go the way of independent. Well, Oklahoma would have a better chance getting in the SEC, but who else are you going to take? They're not going to go in an even number. And they're not going to take Oklahoma State because they already got the televisions with Oklahoma. It's not going to be Baylor. It's not going to be Iowa State. Like, who is going to be that other program? Bob Bowlesby, this was at the Big 12 Media Days just a week ago, commissioner of the Big 12.
It's really mute on that question. Conference alignment is always at the discretion of the conferences. But you have to remember the last time around, the last round of conference realignments was all driven by cable households. And we find ourselves now in a rapidly shrinking cable environment. And it is much less driven by capturing a particular cable market because, if it's an in-market fee, you get a lot more money for it than if it's an out-of-market fee. So the more you can include those things, the more revenue you're going to derive from it. That motivation is essentially gone. And the cable universe has shrunk 20 million households already. It's going to continue to shrink as we migrate to digital consumption and streaming. And so a lot of the motivation for realignment is no longer there. Is that to say it couldn't happen? No, it could possibly happen for other reasons, but it doesn't appear to me that the motivation is there
Don't
at
see
this
it.
Point in time. Not to say it couldn't happen, but it's not one of the things that keeps me up at night.
And it should have. It should have. You got caught with your pants down. Here's your two big flagships in Texas and Oklahoma. And I know Texas hasn't been worth the crap on the football field going through coaches like I go through energy drinks lately. It's what happens. But Texas is a national brand. It's a draw. It's the University of Texas, right? Yeah. They're a sleeping giant, in my opinion. With the right things going in their direction, getting the right head coach. Texas is the most fertile ground in high school recruiting. Texas has their own network. Now, that would change if they went to the SEC, because it'd be the SEC network. But they are looking at digital prints and everything else they can put out. Texas is a freaking goldmine. It's like Notre Dame. Put Texas right there. Notre Dame's independent. Texas is not. But here's the commissioner, not worried about it. This guy is so, he's not proactive. Like, the Big 12 for the longest time needs an aggressor. It needs somebody out there always looking at the future. This stuff has come up before. Hell, I remember interviewing Bob Stoops 10 years ago. And he was talking about, the Pac-12, because they were talking about going to the Pac-12. Texas was going to take Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. They were going to go out west, join the Pac-12, because they were getting a network and everything was going to be cool. And, you know, new fertile grounds to recruit in the state of California with the open to the Pac-12. Don't forget, this is the same conference. Steve Weberg used to be the commissioner of the Big 12. And he left around 06 or 07 to basically become a guy to start the Big 10 network, which has been a cash cow for that network. Like, he tried the Big 12, but they couldn't get on the same page. Like, the Big 10 became the first big conference network, which we've seen the SEC fall in line, cash cow. We've seen the ACC, which has their rights till 2035 for ESPN with them. And then there's the Pac-12 network. They hired Larry Scott, a former tennis guy, tennis organization, to be head of it because he knew media rights. Now Pac-12 has a new commissioner. That hasn't gone so well. They divided it up, the Pac-12 network, two teams like Arizona State would have their own channel. And there was like six Pac-12 channels, and they had a general one for everything. But the bottom line is, he helped the ACC network, he helped the SEC, he helped the Big Ten network. This is something the Big 12 could have had. This is something the Big 12 could have had before everything else. This is something the Big 12 could have had before letting Texas get their own network, the Longhorn Network, which, by the way, I do get it. And I don't watch it very often because I don't like the content. Bottom line, you go around bars in Dallas, good luck finding Longhorn Network. It's been a failure. It's been a miserable failure. But they allowed Texas to do it, gave it an advantage. But the Big 12 could have been ahead of all these teams getting that. And then the Big 12, they only have 10 teams. What happens to them? Where do they go next? What do they do? You're not going to find a Texas and Oklahoma out there unless you're able to basically grab onto the Pac-12. Yeah, there's Arizona State, bring in Notre Dame, finally convince them. Don't forget, Notre Dame did play in the conference last year. They played in the ACC because of the pandemic. I think they kind of like being an outsider now. I know their AD was part of the expansion committee, like Bowlesby of the Big 12 and Sankey. But you're the commissioner of this league. You always have to be thinking of the next step. You always have to think about what happens next. Because if you're not thinking about what happens next, you get caught with your pants down. Like Bob Bowlesby, like the Big 12, their pants are on the ground. That is an atomic bomb they dropped on the college football landscape that started out of smoke, and it's full-blown fire. Coaches are talking about it now at the different media, at the SEC media days. It's still going on last day today. Missouri's speaking down there. They were talking about the ACC media days. This is now a topic that people are talking about. We're going to talk about it as well because we're going to talk to Chip Brown. And we're going to talk from the Texas side, the Oklahoma side, you name it. I'm plus bringing on Gary Pinkel in about an hour and 15 minutes because he was part. He was in the Big 12, then he went to the SEC. The challenges that teams may face, why they wanted to get out. Can Texas ever get along with Missouri? Can they get their vote? Or will Texas A&M try to lure in the Arkansas of the world? The Mizzou's, they need, again, it takes 11 votes to get teams in. I don't think Oklahoma has a problem. Texas could have issues. So we'll discuss that. Plenty more from the Texas side and the Oklahoma side as we progress. But coming up next, we'll talk a little bit about the Royals making a move that might have surprised you. We'll talk about that next.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Drive.
And welcome back. Jay Binkley in for Carrington Harrison. He'll be back tomorrow with Rob Brenton. Major shakeup. Texas and Oklahoma wants to leave the Big 12. Where does that leave us? Text line's asking me, what about Kansas? Kansas to the Big 10. We'll get to that. Don't get your hopes up on that. Don't get your hopes up on Kansas going to the Big Ten. Got to figure out that football program first, that what brings in money, and we'll let Dennis Dodd and other guys tell you the importance of football to Kansas. You might think it's basketball, but football drives the coffers. It really does. We'll talk to Jeff Ketchum at Orange Bloods, Chip Brown at Horns 247, used to be over at Orange Bloods, and Jason Kersey, OU beat writer, later on the program, and Gary Pinkel at 3:30, getting all sides of this. But first, the Kansas City Royals, Rob, my dude, Boom Boom McBroom. Like, I like McBroom. 18 bombs up in Omaha, led that team, but there was no room for him. He was brought up for a series in the National League where he's a first baseman. He played a couple games in the outfield this year, but he's a first baseman and a DH. But Jorge Soler, he came to play. Hit a couple bombs in Milwaukee in back-to-back days, but he's still hitting 186, 9 home runs, 32 ribs. Do you have any confidence at all? I mean, it's weird. Baseball's weird. You lose 2 out of 3 to the Orioles. You didn't hit a home run. They've given up. The Orioles have given up more home runs any team in the American League. Don't do it. They go to Milwaukee. They beat them twice. They beat them twice in Kansas City. Milwaukee's in first place. They were 18 games over 500. The Royals have beaten them and come back and beaten them. Baseball does not make sense, Rob. It doesn't make sense at all. Denny Mantes once said on this program on The Drive, expect the unexpected. That's what we're seeing. Because now Jorge Soler with a couple of bombs in back-to-back days. Has he increased his trade value? Has he increased it to all of a sudden on July 30th? Not the 31st, the 30th this year, don't forget. Could he be traded?
I think the Royals are absolutely hoping that. But I don't think they're going to get anything for him. I think the best you're going to do is similar to what Kelvin Gutierrez got you when they moved him. They moved him for cash. They designated him for his time, and they got cash. I think that's going to happen with Jorge Soler, and I think the Royals are trying to make him as viable as possible in these next 7 to 10 days so they can trade him. But at a certain point, you got to give up the dream. Also, sidebar, kind of relevant to this, I have never understood why they don't love Ryan McBroom. The way Speck talks about Ryan O'Hearn and the way that Speck talks about Edward Olivares and Gold likes Ryan O'Hearn. That's how
McBroom
I feel.
McBroom and O'Hearn are the same guy, but McBroom might be better.
That's how I feel about Ryan McBroom. This year in the minors. Now listen, if you want to say the minors and the majors are a huge chasm, fine. I won't fight you on that. This year in the minors, he has an OPS of 879. 879. He's been up for what? 8 at-bats? He's gotten a cup of coffee in the majors? Why? He's better. I mean, Jorge Soler is not hitting right now. I know he hit a home run yesterday, but he's not hitting. He hadn't hit all year. Why is Ryan McBroom locked behind him? I'll tell you this. On August 1st, August 4th, the first week in August, Ryan McBroom better be this team's DH / first baseman, and Jorge Soler better be somewhere else, because if they're playing this game of we think we can crank up the trade value one last chance on Jorge Soler, they better be able to trade him. But if they can't get him traded and they don't DFA him and McBroom gets blocked all season in a season that's now gone, wasted, over by Jorge Soler, who's not hitting my weight, then it's a mistake by the Royals.
McBroom's one shy of 50 ribs for Omaha, leads that team in home runs with 18, hitting 270. He's 29. Like, it's make or break time for McBroom. Now, they could say, well, he's a 4A player, not a major league player. Soler, to me, the Royals, you've got, what's today, 21st or 22nd?
22nd.
So, 8 days to the trade deadline. 8 days. Listen, Hunter Dozier and Soler struggled this year. We know this. But you know what? I've seen improvements from Hunter Dozier. Have you noticed? Do you know what he's hitting this July, Rob? Hunter Dozier.
I do not. Do you have in front of you?
Hot or cold?
Give me a number.
He's looked hot. What has he hit since July 1st?
July 1st, I'll say he's hitting 285.
Warmer.
Ooh, 305?
Warmer.
Wow, 340.
Warmer.
Oh, my goodness. Where's he at?
346. He's hit since July 1st. That is showing signs of getting better in a good time. It's not September numbers. It's July numbers. They still count. This precedes the All-Star break, but July 1st, Hunter Dozier, a couple hits yesterday as well. These are good signs. Needs to work on the fielding a little bit, and there's no question about that. But Soler, could he be a trade piece for the Royals? Danny Duffy, did you see the flirtation with the Giants, even though he's hurt? Like, if I'm a team, I don't care how hurt Danny Duffy is now. You need him for the playoff run. You need him. Like, Danny Duffy would be perfect for a team in the playoff run, don't you think? I mean, he's going to have to give up this starting thing. If he comes in for an inning or two innings, can you imagine the Duff man on the bullpen for a contending team in the playoffs? Now, that's a piece that might bring you something. It's not going to get you a huge haul. He's not talking about Witt with still, you know, time left on the contract. But Duffy, I feel, could still be the Royals' biggest trade piece at this point.
I think herein lies the problem, and it's kind of now the Royals getting stuck between a rock and a hard place. The players that are obvious that need to be moved are all on, let's call it, expiring contracts. I know that's an NBA term, but just bear with me, are Jorge Soler, who I just said is probably a DFA, trade after DFA'd for cash. Danny Duffy, who's on the DL right now, he should be off the DL by the time the trade deadline comes around, but I understand a team not wanting to give up a premium prospect for a guy coming off the DL, or excuse me, the IL now. Michael A. Taylor is a defensive guy you could feasibly add a piece for, maybe get Edward Olivar some everyday at-bats. Maybe a team needs a fourth outfielder, defensive type, Jerod Dyson player. But yesterday, leaving the game early with a wrist injury, Michael A. Taylor. So the players that they would obviously want to move because their contracts are set to expire all have major question marks. So let's say they move one or none or three of those guys. I don't think you're getting back a premium haul. Look at last year. I think last year's a prime example. They traded Trevor Rosenthal to get Edward Olivares back. I think if you make a trade for one of those three guys, you'll get a similar thing. You'll get a 25, 26-year-old who's in AAA and just blocked in someone else's system. Now, is he blocked in someone else's system because he's not good enough, or is he blocked because there are just too many bodies? There's no way to know. Dayton Moore and his staff need to get it right, but I don't think you're getting premium players for any of the expiring contract guys, which leads to the conversation of, who do you trade to get a premium prospect? What do you have to move to get someone back? Because the obvious moves aren't shaking up the farm system or revigorating the farm system or making the Royals any better in 2022. So now you're kind of stuck, rocking a hard place. You want to get some for these three guys because they're not on the future plans, but there's really nothing to get from them. So what are the future plans?
Who would be your DH right now in 2022?
Carlos Santana. And I would play Hunter Dozier.
100% sense that he becomes a trade piece.
Mm-hmm. And I would play Hunter Dozier at first. And I would go add a third baseman in the offseason. Or maybe Bobby Witt's my third baseman.
If Mondi's healthy, that would be
Mondi's,
your...
yeah. So that Carlos Santana is my DH of the future.
What about Prado? What are you doing with him?
I don't think he's a next year guy yet.
What if he's ready by the end of the year, the end of Omaha's year?
I don't think he'll be ready by the end of Omaha's year. I think he'll be ready at some point next season, but I don't think in April.
By May?
I don't think in April you can pencil him in for first base. And even if you do pencil him for first base, he's, by all accounts, a better defender than Carlos Santana. So my DH on whatever opening day is of 2022 is Carlos Santana.
Would you be shocked if Santana was dealt because he's still got a year? Would you be shocked if he was dealt this year?
No, it wouldn't shock me, but if they dealt Carlos Santana, Nick Prado needs to be coming up. That's the thing. I don't think.
But he's not ready.
I don't think Santana will get dealt. I think there's an under 2% chance. But if by chance Carlos Santana does get dealt, I don't want him dealt and then Ryan McBroom / Ryan O'Hearn / Hunter Dozier is the first baseman for the next 3 months of the season.
You know they're getting calls on. You know they're getting calls on Santana.
Absolutely. Santana and Whit Merrifield are going to garner calls way more than Michael A. Taylor and Danny Duffy, excuse me.
We're going to shift gears at 2:30 and talk to Nick Bromberg from Yahoo Sports College Football about the latest shakeup. I like to go here, but you did ask. You did ask about KU or K-State. Dennis Dodd, great interview, was on with Fesco the morning. Early, too, man. Like, Dennis, it was like 6:15. They were ready to go with Dennis.
Have they called you yet?
Was that? Yeah, they called me at 6:30.
So you were right there. You're a prime candidate.
Man, dude, I was up at 5:56, man. I was ready to listen to this. And then, you know, I get the call to come in and do this, but I was ready to talk at night about this. You know, Sarah will be on tonight. I've got to rest up because I've got training camp Saturday and Sunday, so I have live shows. But anyway, I heard Dennis Dodd say this.
Yeah, I think they're very vulnerable. I'd be very worried if I were at KU or K-State right now.
I would be, too. I'd be worried about Kansas. Dennis Dodd on Kansas.
Well, even now, in its vulnerable state, Kansas football still drives the bus. They earn much more money with their TV rights deal than basketball does. And I know that's hard to believe, but that is the case. And that's why KU stakeholders were asking some of these AD candidates about their opinion, Kansas, you know, place in conference realignment in the future. I don't think they had any idea this was coming up. They were just trying to determine what Kansas was going to look like in the future. But they have to get football fixed. That's a big part of it.
Rob, you're a proud Kansas guy. I know you have football season tickets. God bless you on that.
And basketball. I have both. I double dip.
Did you ever sit there and think for a second that football is more important than basketball at Kansas?
Not more important, but since I do this, I am aware of the financial ramifications football has versus basketball.
So light pole could peacock around a little bit, right?
I mean, I wouldn't say
keys are in his hand.
May win a game before you peacock around. But I understood that football, no matter what school you're at, drives the bus.
It does drive. Rex Heller drives the bus. That's what college football does. We'll talk to Nick Bromberg, the first of our series of interviews today about the possible explosion of the Big 12. We'll talk to Nick next.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio. Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Welcome back to The Drive. Jay Binkley with Rob Brinton. Carrington Harrison back tomorrow. It's football eve. Football eve. Training camp starts essentially tomorrow. Rookies and quarterbacks. If Mahomes shows up, that means it's good to go. If Andy Reid is there, it is good to go. The smell of football's in the air. The smell of football was in the air at the SEC Media Days with Texas and Oklahoma just dropping a bomb. Here's Nick Bromberg from Yahoo Sports, covers NASCAR and college football. You can follow him at Nick Bromberg or at Yahoo Sports CFB. Nick is my go-to guy during college football times. What's up, Nick?
What's going on? The college football season has started in earnest, I think. We still are, you know, 3 to 5 weeks away from games, but the football season is now officially here.
Well, it seems like, Nick, we've been talking about this for years. You and I have talked about alignment and who the Big 12 could grab. I never thought this day would come. Obviously, Bowlesby didn't either because he said he wasn't going to lose any sleep over it at the Big 12 Media Days last week. Well, he's got to start losing sleep over it because his two signature programs want to leave. How shocked were you hearing that information? Now, this came from the Houston Chronicle, from an A&M guy that covers them, and it's interesting that Ross Bjork, the AD of A&M, was in Hoover, Alabama for the Media Days, where you know as well as I do, Nick, ADs don't go to Media Days.
Yeah, I think we'll let the listeners kind of connect the dots there on why there are so many conspiracy theories. Maybe it's not even a conspiracy, that A&M was conveniently the one that, because that story went out. Jimbo Fisher was supposed to go on the podium 3 o'clock yesterday. That story came out basically like 2:40. I mean, it was very close timing, right as A&M was the focus. And it gave A&M, you know, A&M with that timing, no matter if it was coincidental or not, gave A&M the chance to say, hey, look, we don't want Texas and Oklahoma in the Big Ten. SEC, gosh, it's all got me and that stuff.
It's close enough. There's flirtations there before, too.
There were in the Pac-12, the ACC, you know, name every Power 5. I was stunned. You know, I think that there was, you never say never to conference realignment, but the fact that this came out, and if you believe that, say, Texas A&M leaked it, they wanted to leak it to try to scuttle, you know, Texas from doing what they did 10 years ago. I think you really have to think about the stability of the Big 12, not only now and then going forward, because what's going on here is that the Big 12 grant of rights not expiring until 2025. Texas and Oklahoma are not, if they're going to leave, and I think this is still a negotiating ploy more than it's an actual move. If they're going to leave, there's going to be a long transition period here because they're not going to want to sacrifice that revenue. The SEC is about 45-ish or so million dollars a year per school.
But they could buy out of it, right, though, Nick? They could buy out of it early.
They could, but at the same time, do they want to pay, say, $40, $50, $60 million to buy out of it? I don't know because, you know, and we've talked about this too, that's a whole other thing where Texas probably has the money because the donors, and I'm sure Oklahoma could scrape up the money as well if this was really something they wanted to do. But, you know, athletic departments around the country, their bottom lines have been hit so hard by COVID and donations and ticket sales and media rights, et cetera. It seems very hypocritical for a school to want to say, hey, look, we'll pay $50, $60 million to buy out our TV contract, and then while also so many other schools are crying poor and making layoffs and making cuts. I mean, this is the same Texas that last year had a bunch of athletic department staff layoffs, and they cited COVID-19 as the reason.
Well, they're going to need votes. You need 11 of 14 to get into the SEC. Obviously, A&M, at this point, you'd have to say, is a big no. They don't want another competitor from the state of Texas in the SEC. They'll probably lobby Arkansas. Missouri would probably be at the top of their list, seeing as Missouri bolted the Big 12 because of Texas. Do you think there's enough votes to get him in? I could see Oklahoma not having a problem. Texas, maybe.
I think if the SEC as a whole, as a league, wants this to happen, it will happen one way or another. And I think what also has to happen, too, is you've got to sell the schools and the conference as a whole as to what the benefits are to the 16-team super conference if it does go to 16. Because, you know, when we were talking about realignment in 2011, this was all about cable television boxes and how many households are you going to be in and conference networks. Obviously, we know the Big 12 doesn't have its own network. The Longhorn Network exists. And if the SEC move happens, the Longhorn Network probably goes away. And I think that's a sign of how this is so different. Is you now, with streaming and everybody cutting the cord, this is a situation where you don't necessarily have to worry about the inventory for your own cable channel and how many households you're going to be in because somebody can just pull it up, whether it's via ESPN Plus or another media rights company's app. The access is not the issue here, and you're also not going to get the guaranteed dollars from cable anymore. So you don't look at this from a household perspective necessarily. You look at this from what can the brands do in terms of national appeal because you're going to be basically appealing to a national audience at this point, not worrying about your cable customers in Dallas or Austin or Oklahoma City. So, but to that effect, say it increases $5, $10 million a year for each school. Is that worth it for, say, a Mississippi or Mississippi State? Or even, I'm even going to say Missouri. What's the benefit for those schools? Is $5 to $10 million a year worth it? If for those schools to go from middle of the pack in a 14-team SEC to a little bit further down middle of the pack in a 16-team SEC. And when conversely, what I cannot still wrap my head around is, why is a Texas that we all know likes being king of the mountain, has an ego. There's nothing too petty, especially between Texas and Texas A&M, who've been talking about horns down and 15-yard penalties. Why would they willingly give up the throw in the Big 12 to go to the SEC? Is the potential money really that much?
You know, I don't get it. And the thing about it is being proactive. I remember when Kevin Weberg was the commissioner of the Big 12. He wanted to start the Big 12 network. They weren't ready to do it. So he's like, okay, and he goes and starts the Big 10 network, right? And that's been a cash cow for the conference. Now, you know, speaking of the Big 10, they said 14 teams. The ACC, the same. Pac-12 is at 12 teams. But we've heard that Arizona State, not happy in the Pac-12. There's other teams. And then, of course, does West Virginia end up in the ACC? If they're like, hey, you know, it makes sense for them to be in the ACC. I don't know what happens, but it seems to me, and I don't know how you see it, Nick, it just seems like the Big 12 has been behind the eight ball. It seems like everybody else has been forward thinking, and they haven't been. And this goes all the way back to they could have been the first big conference with the television network.
Yeah, it does. And what's staggering is that the Big 12 is not behind the eight ball when it comes to revenue. That's it feels like it's a... I hate using the stereotype, but it feels like a flyover country problem in the sense that you have the Pac-12 located on the West Coast, and you've got those major media markets. You have the SEC building itself into the national brand, and I think, you know, you're in states, especially in some of those southeastern states where college football is king, especially over the NFL. And then you have the Big Ten in media markets like Chicago, and they've obviously tried to expand into New York City and Washington, D.C. with Rutgers and Maryland. You know, Texas is the cow, is the cash cow of the Big 12 when it comes to those media markets. You have all the huge cities in Texas, and then after that, you know, Kansas City is the number two city in the footprint right now if you're not going to count St. Louis. So, you know, that's the problem, where Kansas City is by far and away the lowest populated number two city in a conference footprint for the Big 12, even though their money is still so good. And, you know, there's not the national brand, because I think this is going to be something that if this goes down the road, and let's just say Texas and Oklahoma do really do start this process, we're going to start talking about the appeal of, say, what Kansas brings. I'm scared for Kansas State in a scenario like this, and I don't know, since we're talking so much about football driving this process, I don't know where that puts Kansas, even though they have, you know, a top five marquee name in men's college basketball.
Yeah, I'm curious. You know, Kansas has been trying to raise that money for the football stadium. They've really tried to improve that football program. It hasn't gone the way they want, but I know they've been trying, because that's what is. Well, Dennis Dodd said this morning, it's what drives the bus is college football revenue at these schools. And I'm curious what the Big 12 would do. They could dissolve, or they could be proactive. I don't see any names out there that would replace Texas and Oklahoma, unless somehow you talk Notre Dame into leaving independence. They did play in the conference last year, the ACC. Outside of bringing them in, maybe Arizona State. I don't know if there's enough interest around here in the footprint of the Big 12 to add those teams. It's not going to be Houston or Memphis or Boise State or Colorado State. That's not going to move any needles. Where does the Big 12 sit? And what about the ACC and the Big 10? Do they all of a sudden start having their eye out looking for teams? Because we've heard about Texas to the Big 10 in the past. That's been out there. Texas to the Pac-12. Texas has been looking in a long time. Do these other conferences and even the Big 12, they start looking at some of these other schools as we migrate toward the 16-team conferences?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I think you could easily see a scenario where there are four 16-team power conferences instead of the five conferences that we have right now. And obviously that's going to be fewer teams in Power 5 conferences. Someone's going to get left out. So, you know, you look at this, Notre Dame, I think the Notre Dame model is an intriguing option for Texas. And yeah. I don't think you can discount independence for Texas, because I do think that they see themselves as such a national brand with a national following, especially obviously, you know, the size of the state. And you look at what Notre Dame's going to get from NBC and Peacock, in that they're going to be able to sell their media rights as a streaming package, being independent. You know, and NBC is going to really want to pay that, because you can drive Notre Dame fans to Peacock, their subscription service. And what also is key here, too, I don't know if you and I are having this conversation right now if the college football playoff is not going to expand in 3 years.
Really?
Because, you know, you look at Notre Dame, the reason Notre Dame can do this, they're happy with the 12-team playoff because they're pretty much in every year if they go 10-2. We look at Oklahoma. Oklahoma can move to the SEC no matter how long they want to format the division. If they go 10-2, they're probably in the playoff because they're going to be a top 12 team. Anybody in the SEC who does that is going to be in the playoff. You know, you have to win the Big 12. You have to be a one-loss team at worst to get a playoff shot right now. The 12-team playoff expands so much when it comes to conference alignment and potential media deals, because there's you're basically tripling the size of the playoff, and you know you're giving these power programs like Texas, say, well, we don't necessarily have to make our conference every year, and we can finally make the playoff for the first time.
They're saying now, you know, people are saying that, of course, Pete Thamel reporting that Big 12 ADs meeting today, and presidents expect a Texas OU break from the Big 12 to be imminent. I'll leave you with this, Nick. We're talking to Nick Bromberg from Yahoo Sports. Nick, well, if you're Iowa State and Matt Campbell, you know, on the cusp, they do make the Big 12 title game last year. Kansas State, that's a great football program, fan base. You got Baylor, you got Texas Tech, you got all these schools. I mean, if Texas and Oklahoma leave, where do these cats go? Do they start looking around? Are they attractive to other conferences? Because we're talking about Iowa State, you know, in Ames. We're talking about Manhattan with Kansas State. Is there a way for them to be salvaged in the Big 12, or are they just going to have to hope that the Pac-12 or somebody else reaches out to them?
I don't know what the clear path to being salvaged is. I think Iowa State, I think, is fortunate that they're in the same state as the Big Ten team already. And so if the Big Ten wants to expand, you have – and Iowa is an AAU school, and that was a big deal with the Big Ten 10 years ago when they were expanding. Iowa State easily fits in the footprint, but then what else does the Big Ten do? You know, there's nobody really that makes sense for outside of West Virginia in the Big 12 for the ACC. You know, the Mountain West, okay, that sounds great, but Kansas – TCU was in the Mountain West at one point, but nope. Kansas State in the Mountain West, and that's a huge downgrade for either of those programs. We're going to have a huge fight. I'm just going to say that. We're going to have a huge fight. There are too many people influential. You know, Oklahoma State obviously made that statement yesterday. But there are too many people with money and influence in the state of Texas who have ties to Baylor and Texas Tech. And then if you Texas A&M, influential and rich people in the state of Texas, are all as against this move as Ross Bjork is, all three of those combined are going to outnumber the Texas people who want to get out of the Big 12. That could be a huge power struggle in Texas because right now that state's political structure outside of sports is a complete mess. Throw that into it, and it's just going to be an even bigger mess.
Yeah, speaking of the political realm, aren't Texas legislatures already trying to put things into effect that a Texas couldn't bolt unless they get permission from the state?
Yes, there, a representative tweeted out today that he would start drafting legislation ASAP to make sure that Texas couldn't leave without anybody else going with them. But yeah, you know, we're setting up, even if that's just for show, that is the perfect example of what we're setting ourselves up for in this latest round of conference realignment drama. And I think if this is real, even if it's just simply a negotiating ploy, I think we're setting ourselves up for a wilder experience than we had in 2010 and 2011.
Nick, I know that you got to run, but I know I said final question, but I'll just ask you if you think it's BS or not. Do you think Alabama's quarterback Bryce Young is already close to $1 million in endorsements without a start?
Absolutely. I don't think it's $1 million cash in his pocket. I think it's. I would wager it's $1 million signed deal, because what we have to remember here, Bryce Young has 2 years of eligibility remaining, at least. Because freshman season last year, and then he's going to have two more seasons before he can go to the NFL draft. So I can totally see him as the presumption that he is going to be Alabama's starting quarterback for the next two seasons, that he has inked contracts over the course of these upcoming two seasons that are somewhere in the $900,000 range over the next 24 months. I can totally buy that.
And you know what, Nick? I've never seen you at a press conference ask questions. I can't remember. I've seen you, Adam, but I can't remember. Do you address the coach with the first name and the last name, or coach?
I am totally a first name.
Okay,
man. Sorry.
Yeah, me too.
It's your name. You know, and I know you're referencing Dion here, and I don't know what your take on it is. I think Dion, if you believe that Dion was doing this for attention, because he certainly got the attention.
This is Leon Sandcastle.
You know, I buy it, but at the same time, I don't think it was a good look for Dion.
No, I went back, Nick, and I pulled Belichick, press conferences, Andy Reid, Nick Saban, and it's always Nick, Andy. I mean, occasionally people throw in coach. Actually, one lady even called Nick Saban instead of his name. Hey, Saban was the question. Rolled right through it. Belichick the same way. Hey, Bill. That's what they call him.
I will say this, though. I do think coach is – I wouldn't use it, but it's fine. It's better than the guy today at the Big Ten Media Day who prefaced his question to Jim Harbaugh with Go Blue.
You just don't use the word coach with major league managers.
No, you don't, because Skip. You never called him coach.
Nick Bromberg. Follow him on Twitter, at Nick Bromberg. Also, at Yahoo Sports, CFB for college football. He's the best, his local guy, but always like talking to Nick. Thanks, Nick.
Hey, thanks for having me.
There you go, Nick, right there. What do you think, Brenton?
About calling coaches by their name?
Brenton?
I think that's what you do. I don't understand why Dion was so mad about this.
You know what, though? I know that it happened a couple days ago. It got me thinking about it, though. I was wondering, like, what I do, because I don't remember. I think I've used the word coach before. I don't call him Mr. Like Mr. Reed. You say Andy or coach. But I don't know what I've done. I went back and listened to press conferences, and everybody uses their first name. So I had to, is Dion on to something, or is he full of crap? And through research, you realize he's full of crap.
I think coaches and players generally, when I've been at press conferences, which there's been a pandemic, so it's been a minute since I went to a press conference, generally care more about what you're asking than how you phrase the question. Like
that was a Zoom call, by the way, to Dion. Yeah,
if I was at a press conference tomorrow for insert Coach X,
it's Reed tomorrow.
Yeah, if I was on the Reed Zoom tomorrow and I said, Andy, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Roll right through it.
He wouldn't care. Now, if my question was bad, he'd care. If I was like, Andy, you know, what do you think of the geopolitical climate of Eastern Europe? He might look at me like, what the hell?
Are you guaranteeing a win over the Browns,
Yeah,
Andy?
He might be mad. But, like, if I said, Andy, you know, is it exciting to be back in St. Joe, which is a fine question, he would then answer the question. He wouldn't be like, listen here, bud. He would never do any of that. It was all nonsense by Dion.
Or you could be like some of the reporters. Did you have enough barbecue over the summer?
I mean, I still think that's, like I said, I think the question matters so much more than how you're phrased. Like, like Bromberg mentioned there at the end, the guy who asked Jim Harbaugh today at Media Days with a question and then ended with, by the way, go blue, that guy's a problem.
You can't do that. And wear, like, the team gear?
Yeah, no, when I go cover KU stuff, not my KU shirt. I'm in 6'10 gear. That's what I do.
Yeah, you don't cover the Chiefs. You might be a huge Chiefs fan. You might have grown up here your life, but you don't show up to Arrowhead with Chiefs gear on. That's reserved for the people that work with the team. Like Matt McMillan, he can get away with that because he works with the team.
Yeah, I mean, that's how you identify team personnel versus media member when you're out. Like, when I covered spring training, I'd walk around like just a polo, and you'd see someone with a Royals polo, you knew that's an employee, and I'm not. That's the separator.
You're not supposed to cheer in the press box, although I've seen it. Now, 14 and 15, like, they were diligent with the Royals. Like, you'd not cheer in the press box. Obviously, the Kansas City media was going for the Royals, and, you know, when the Baltimore media came up or whatever, they'd be going for the Orioles, but it was quiet. The only time I saw it, Rob, was in New York. Because I'll be honest with you, those New Yorkers were going pretty good Mets. It was pretty raucous in there with Mets and Royals. The Kansas City crowd was nice. They were kind. They kept their cheering to themselves. Vern and I fist bump each other underneath the table. Nobody saw it. It was very clean. There wasn't any complaints about the situation. But that's how you handle things. But, as Rob said, you know, Andy's talking tomorrow. Patrick Mahomes is talking tomorrow. It is quarterbacks. It is rookies. And it matters this year. Like, I think rookie minicamp matters more now than it has in the past because some of these rookies are going to get some serious playing time and or start. You know, like Nick Bolton's going to be vying for a lot of playing time. Trey Smith going to be vying for playing time. Creed Humphrey is going to be fighting for a starting job on this team at center. That's kind of important with Patrick Mahomes. An ambidextrous center as well, Rob. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but he can snap with both hands.
Former OU guy, so he's part of the problem.
He prefers his left hand. He says that's kind of his dominant, but he'll do either. I think he should switch him up. Now, Mahomes might disagree. He probably wants one way and one way only. Like, wouldn't you think Mahomes would have kind of a say-so? Hey, I don't, just forget about this left stuff. Give me the right. Or maybe he didn't care. If he's in shotgun, who cares how you snap? But you know what, though? You have to be consistent. Because you can't snap with one hand on, like, running plays because they'll get the keys. It's like baseball. Well, he's using the right hand, it's going to be a pass. Like, you gotta be solid. But you can mix it up to screw with them, which I hope Creed Humphrey does if he wins the job over Austin Blythe. By the way, Pete Sweeney, our Chiefs insider, will be joining various programs throughout the season. Then Peter and I are back on Arrowhead Pride Radio, 6 o'clock each and every Wednesday night, bringing you Chiefs talk solid for an hour. We always have a lot of fun with that show. But Pete Sweeney put out his 53-man roster projections today. If you check out the PG Sweeney on Twitter, our insider, I retweeted it. Went through his order. I would love to disagree with it. I know you looked at it, Rob, but I can't. Like, honestly, I agree with it. Like, I'd love to argue with Pete. It's one of my favorite things to do in the world. But you saw it, Rob. I mean, are you okay with it? I actually agree with it. The 10 offensive linemen, I don't know if it's going to be 9. But I digress. We can go either direction with them. Coming up, we have Gary Pinkle joining us at 3:30, speaking of a guy that went from the Big 12 to the SEC that's kind of relevant at this point. But the NFL sent out a memo to its teams. 272, or you take the L. I'll explain next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.